Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever and whenever you happen to be listening to us in this great connected world that is brought together by the internet. It is the Last Three Guys to Do a Podcast coming at you once again. I'm John Morgo along with
Daniel Bolton
and
Leon Brown.
We're talking NCAA tournament. We're coming to you. We're taping the 68 teams, not 64, 68 teams have just been announced. We've got opinions up the wazoo. So let's jump in immediately and I just put a tweet out on John_Morgo stating that the Michigan players' reaction, or lack thereof, is the funniest thing I've seen in quite some time. Now, Michigan, they lost the Big Ten conference final to one of their arch rivals, Michigan State. That dropped them down to a 2 seed. They didn't like getting a 2 seed, did
they?
No, they
didn't. No, they didn't. And it seemed like John Beilein was saying, get your asses up.
Get up. Get up.
Please get up.
It's a bad look.
It's a bad look. You are a 2 seed. You are in the tournament. You're supposed to be in it. Okay? Just get up. Get up. You know how to commit and does it.
So the question I wanna pose to you guys right now is, they're playing the Montana Grizzlies in the first round. Does Montana, looking at this game, looking at that reaction, says, we got a shot in this game?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. They're. It's like one of two things. You're either going to make history or become history.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think Montana has a good chance to make history with Big Ten. You know, with Michigan. You know, looks like they're going to be on a little bit of slide. You know, they got a little bit of matchup issues. I mean, it can happen.
You know, we take a look at these brackets, and of course, we'll break it down for you in a second.
Right.
But I want to say this. Kudos to the committee this year. I think this is the first time in years that I've said that they may have gotten everything right here on this thing. They got the last four in correctly. We'll break that down to you guys in a minute. I thought that the last four in was correct. I thought that some of the seedings, maybe some of the seedings are questionable, like Kansas, for example. They're a number 4 seed, but they're in the Midwest. And if they get to the Sweet 16, they go to Kansas City. So that's like a home game for them.
Right.
So that might have been a bit of a question mark and for them putting them there, especially with them losing the Big 12 championship game against Iowa State last night. So, you know, that could have been a bit of a question. I have no questions whatsoever about the number 1 seeds. I thought that these were the 4 best teams. And when you're talking about North Carolina, Virginia, Gonzaga, and Duke being the number 1 overall seed, I thought that that was correct. And we said this before we touched down, guys. When Zion Williamson is healthy, they're the best team in the country. Mm-hmm. And that's what I believe the committee was looking at, and they looked at his body of work in the ACC tournament, and they said, you know what, this is the best team in college basketball. Let's reward them. Great job by the committee.
Exactly, and I think we were saying that the last 4 teams in deserve to be Belmont, Texas Tech, Arizona State. They all deserved to get in. NC State, they clearly did not get
in. It was Arizona State, St. John's.
St. John's is the last one, and I got the other
Belmont and Temple.
Temple.
Yeah.
Belmont, Temple, Arizona State, St. John's, and those two will be playing each other in the first 4 games in Dayton, Ohio, but NC State did not get in. They were the last team in NCAA history this season in terms of strength of schedule. Clearly, they did not belong. I mean, I don't have a problem with what the committee did here.
I don't either, and especially when we talk about NC State. And I know the fans are not going to like us saying this, but they did not schedule well out of conference, and they went 9-9 in the ACC.
Right.
So yeah. I told a couple of my coworkers this. I said, listen, NC State's got to win the tournament to get in. They have to steal that bid because they're not going to get in here. The committee's not going to clearly look at them like that.
Exactly. So, Leon, looking over the teams that are in, looking over the brackets, what is the biggest game or what game are you most intrigued by?
Anything that has Duke to be involved in.
I want to see
because, you know, I think we're discussing this off air. But I have high hopes for Mr. Williamson when he gets to the league. You know, I believe that, you know, he's going to add instant value to any franchise that he gets drafted to. I think that if he goes to the Knicks, which a lot of people are predicting he will, that that's going to book Kyrie Irving and another big name free agent, hopefully Kevin Durant, and we could see your rookie year. We could possibly see, you know, a future big three. I mean, I want to see what this man does against some of great competition, because you know the comp is people were wondering, is college basketball a fair evaluator of actual talent ready for an NBA, because they're performing against 18-year-olds,
right,
versus grown men.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you still want to see the NCAA tournament? We're going to see how he does, because you know I like another player I'm comparing this to is Mr. What's the gentleman off of Minnesota who was somewhat disappointing, but he's all right, Mr. Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, right.
He was actually, like Mr. Williamson, was actually supposed to be the new LeBron. Mm-hmm. And when he went to the tournament, scored 4 points.
Yeah.
Right.
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 You know, and, you know, he had ended up going to the league. And, you know, his career is, you know, he's like, what, a B level? Maybe a C plus level?
Maybe C plus. At best. He really, but that's because more so of his attitude, you know, right. His attitude towards the game. So yeah. That's what I think.
And when I look at Mr. Williamson, you know, he has like a general love for it. This young man plays defense.
Yeah.
And how many people can you say that about?
Exactly. Like, Zion Williamson is box office, man. I mean, this guy, you saw what he did. Not only can he take over a game, but he takes over a tournament.
29-11.
Yeah. Man. I mean, this guy is incredible. John, you asked about, like, games in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
That would be interested in. I'm going to go through each region. There's one game from each region that I'm interested in the East bracket where Duke is. I'm interested in seeing LSU and Yale. LSU is having problems over there, especially with the whole
Will Wade player. Yeah.
Yeah, paying players.
And they got him on tape. Yeah. We'll talk about that in a moment.
Yeah, right. So I'm interested to see if LSU is willing to come together against a very dangerous Yale team who just won the Ivy League. I believe they won it today, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, the Ivy League, just, you know, a college tournament for the Ivy League is, mm-hmm, basically relatively new.
Right.
They only started that a couple years ago, and because usually it used to be they didn't do a conference tournament, the winner gets in.
Yeah.
But they've kind of caved into pressure and have a tournament. I'd like to go see that just once. I think that's on my bucket list, see the Ivy League conference tournament. But yeah, you're right. Yale and Yale against LSU. It's kind of like what we just saw with Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
LSU is going to be distracted in this ball game, and who knows what the investigation is going to curtail. They may have to have some of their players sit out that game.
Exactly. Oh. And that's why I would say that, you know, guys, if you're playing a tournament bracket challenge, which I know I am, I'm probably going to play about three of them. if you're doing that, that's probably one of the upsets you might want to keep in mind. There's that Yale LSU matchup, just because in the West, I think the West probably has probably one of the better intriguing first round matchups. I'm talking about all of them except for the one. I think Gonzaga is going to beat whoever comes out of the Fairleigh Dickinson Prairie View A&M matchup.
Yeah, the Prairie View A&M So Dickinson. Right.
Yeah, right. But everything else under it, from Syracuse to Baylor, Florida State, Vermont, Buffalo, and the winner of the Arizona State St. John's matchup. You got Texas Tech, Northern Kentucky, Nevada, Florida, Michigan, Montana. But the one game that I'm looking forward to is Murray State and Marquette, number 5 Marquette and number 12 Murray State. Murray State probably has the number 2 draft pick. Okay, and Ja Morant, man, this guy, if you haven't seen this guy.
He's scoring, what, 30 points a game?
30 points a game. He leads the nation in scoring, but he's also a great defender. So he plays great basketball. He knows how to play basketball. Game that I would love for people to watch is that game out of that region.
Looking forward to seeing what networks are going to have which games. But Daniel, before we were getting on air, and that Florida State Vermont game, mm-hmm, was announced, you just kind of scrunched your face up.
I'm gonna tell you
why do you think Vermont, the Catamounts, have a puncher's chance in this one?
The simple reason why a lot of other low seed teams have, and we'll talk about Georgia State in a minute.
Yeah, we'll definitely get to that.
Because they can shoot the 3-point shot. And Florida State, we saw they can shoot it, but can they outshoot Vermont is the question. Now what makes us dangerous, what makes Florida State dangerous, is that their length and their size. They've got man.
Basal, right?
Yeah, right. We can beat anybody doing that. Listen, we were in the Elite Eight last year. I don't see why with this team we can't do it again, but we've got to get past Vermont. Vermont and possibly Murray State. That would be scary. Mm-hmm. Those are scary matchups for us.
I'm trying to look at Vermont's 3-point percentage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think they may be in the high 40s.
Yeah. You see, that's
the very essence of March Madness right there.
Right
they can
there.
Get hot, they Leon, can light it up.
If you, That's what a lot of people were saying about Duke. If Duke can't shoot the 3-point shot, which they were like a dismal 28% from 3-point range as a team this year, the only knock against Duke was that they couldn't shoot from outside. They're going to possibly run up against teams that are going to outshoot them.
It could happen.
You know, and it could happen. But I don't see anybody really in this bracket that could outshoot Duke, except for when they get to the Elite Eight with Michigan State. That's the only team I can see that really give them a chance here. But, yeah, that's what I meant with Florida State. But the length could probably get us by. We'll beat you up on the inside, but we can't let a team take us over in the from outside.
And for some reason, the three-point shooting teams like Vermont, they do catch fire during the tournament.
Mm-hmm. In the South bracket, the matchup that I'm looking forward to is Villanova and St. Mary. I think the Gales who stole a bid, because the Gales were actually the next four out, according to Joe Lenardi. So that's going to be an interesting matchup from them. They knocked off Gonzaga in their conference tournament championship. Villanova, a sixth seed, they won their Big East? They're still in the Big East, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They won the Big East tournament. Right? So, a lot of people didn't think that Villanova was, you know, they looked like they was kind of going low a little bit. You know, they didn't look all that great, but then they picked it up in the conference tournament. But that's still a scary game for Villanova, the defending national champions, when I look at that bracket. And in the Midwest bracket, of course, I got to talk about the Georgia State Panthers. Playing the Houston Cougars. I don't see why Georgia State can't beat them.
No, yeah, exactly. Even though Georgia State, we talked about this, we were hoping Georgia State would get a 13, possibly a 12. They do get an improvement over a 4 and get a 14 over last season's 15, which means their team that they draw a little bit easy, a little bit better, a little more competitive. But the Houston Cougars, 31-3 over their season, including a loss, I guess, in the AAC final to Cincinnati and Memphis today.
Yeah.
That's one of their losses. So, I mean, this is going to be a tough team. This is going to be a tough team for Ron Hunter and his group.
And like you were saying, they only got to travel to Jacksonville.
No, that game goes to Tulsa.
No.
They're going to Tulsa.
We were hoping they go to Tulsa. That would be almost a home game.
Yeah. Right. But I don't think the committee – I think the committee saw that.
Yeah, they said okay, we had them in Jacksonville 4 years ago. We had them in Nashville last year. Let's let them travel a little bit.
Yeah. And the thing is the key to this game is simple. Georgia State will get you in a 2-3 zone. And they can shoot the 3-point shot. They can knock that down, right?
Right.
But what Georgia State can't allow Houston to do is run. Houston can run better than anybody in college basketball right now. They are fast, other than Duke.
Right.
But they're fast. And they get out there. And that's probably what Georgia State will have to stop. They can't turn the ball over.
I'll say ball protection is a must.
Ball protection is a must, right? They can't turn the ball over, and they can't allow Houston to run and get those easy, fast break points.
Yeah, it gets late early against teams like that.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So, and Georgia State would play the winner. That game plays the winner of the Iowa State-Ohio State matchup over there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That's gonna be an interesting game. You gotta like Iowa State in this one, but you know I don't think you should count out the Buckeyes.
No, you can't. They're in there for a reason. I think a lot of people thought that they would probably consider the last four in, but the committee thought otherwise. They thought that they had did enough to get in to the tournament. But Iowa State, another dangerous team. They won the Big 12 last night, so over Kansas. Very dangerous team. Iowa State knows what it takes, a potential second-round matchup with either Houston or Georgia State. So that would be an interesting state. What if it's Ohio State, Georgia State, right?
That would be interesting.
We've seen the brackets happen like this before. So
yeah.
We're 11s play to 14s and the 10s play to 15s. We've seen this before.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, Houston averaging 76 points a game. Good defense for the Cougars, only giving up 61. But as we said, that 31-3 record, just a loss to Central Florida and at Temple. Mm-hmm. Bunch of winning streaks on them. I mean, they didn't lose until January 12th.
Who's that?
Houston.
Yeah, that's right.
Six. They had a huge winning streak to start off the year. I think 15 games, wins over BYU, Oregon, Oklahoma State, LSU. Rice had another win over. So, really, I mean, looking over at Houston, one thing they can do is they shoot the ball almost 45% from the floor. It's going to be a tough game. Corey Davis Jr., 17 points a game for him. Rebounding, not too much. They do get 41 rebounds a game, but looking at those stats, it's not. They don't really have a dominating board presence, which tells me that the rebounds are kind of going all over the place because they like to shoot from outside.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's what, like I said before, Georgia State really has to kind of avoid there. But if anything, they would. Their best chance is to get them in half court defense and half court offense. So, you know, we'll see.
I'm looking at a team that lost their star player in Bobo. Manute Bol's son,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
He went down to average 21 points a game. Or I'm talking about Oregon, who just put it on Washington.
Yeah, they put it on Washington last night, which was stunning to me.
Ooh, without your star player.
Yeah, yeah.
Dubbed him out, for all those listening, 20 points and out him.
Well, you know what I've heard from a lot of people, and maybe you can defend this. Washington just didn't look like they were ready to play. Just like Tennessee wasn't today. Tennessee was not ready to play today.
It was very disinterested.
Against Auburn, right? Yeah. Like Tennessee and Washington were the two teams that just really looked uninterested to play, and they just kind of knew that they were going to be in the tournament and didn't care what seeding they got.
Yeah, this is actually the second loss.
Besides,
they had.
Tennessee beat Kentucky, and I think they cared more about beating Kentucky
than winning the SEC.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Oregon's had Washington's number this year. It's like their second loss.
Their second loss to them.
Yep. So, you know, that's going to affect them. We're going to see how they perform in the tournament as well, too.
Exactly. So, guys, let's talk about conferences. We say that the brackets are in, and we also say that the committee did a great job of getting the teams that need to be in. But is there – and I think the testament of that is they found a place – as we kind of broached this a little bit, they found a place for Belmont.
Yes.
And we weren't sure that was going to happen last week.
Yes, absolutely. And kudos to the committee, because I think we had seen this before, right, where a lot of the Power 5 teams would get the bid. Of course, Indiana and TCU were one of the teams left out. UNC Greensboro was part of the first four out as well. Mm-hmm. But when you talk about TCU and Indiana, which was kind of close, I think if TCU had won one more game, they probably would have put them over Belmont. That's how scared I was of it. But kudos to the committee.
Yeah, they got
Belmont
a lot right.
Should have been in, you know. Yeah. And they lost to a quality opponent in Murray State in the Missouri Valley. Yeah, in the Missouri Valley Championship. So, you know, you have to give kudos to the committee with that, because we've seen over the last couple of years where we're sitting up and we're like,
it's blatantly unfair.
Why are they there?
Yeah, blatantly unfair. It's like they're just worried about TV ratings right. Over the sheer competition.
Right, and it's like what John said last week. St. Mary's, who was once a 30-win team one year, was, again, the doormat.
That's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. It is.
So, you know, they with this new system that they instituted, you know, it's not just about strength of schedule, but, you know, we do have to consider all bodies of work.
Absolutely.
But in that vein, is there a team that should have been in, but didn't get in?
No, I thought all 68 teams. I thought they got it right.
Okay,
I thought they got it right. This is the first time, John, in a long time that I can say that they got that right. That they got the number one seeds right. I think the tournament did a great job. I don't think I could question anything that they did.
Will college football follow suit?
No.
emphatic. No.
Don't you wish though?
Yeah, but you wish they would, but they're not going.
No.
We're going to be stuck with this for a while.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. We just need to hold on to college basketball.
We just need to make sure this stays like this.
This is beautiful, man.
It is
for us to get together and do this and talk about this on Sundays.
Right.
You know, this is excellent.
No.
Man, it used to be on daylight savings time.
Yeah.
But, you know,
yeah.
Bush pushed that up to a week. So.
Yeah.
Now, the question is this. You know, we discussed this earlier in our podcast incarnation about the G League. Will the G League ruin this, you know, within, like, the next 3 years, you know, with them offering cash and prizes to high school kids? You know, will we see last of the Mohicans, so to speak, of college basketball?
Right.
Yes and no.
Go ahead, John.
I say yes because, you know, you're going to get kids who will jump at it. But I say no because even though the level of talent may go down a little, it'll still be wide and comparable throughout the nation.
Yeah. I agree with John.
Yeah, I mean, it's still as long as you have enough talent that can get dispersed among, and I won't even say 68 teams, because we know some teams are going to get their rearsies beaten up very badly in that first round and go home with nothing but the memories of actually getting to there and being part of it. As long as you have maybe, I would say, 8 great teams, 30 good teams, and 16 decent teams, you're still going to get this.
You're still going to get this. Yeah. Yep. I agree with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So as long as you have that, I think it's going to be fine. Yeah. I think it's going to be fine. And especially in the G League, those teams are just very, they're not really in, I would say, major markets. Although Atlanta is going to move from Erie to College Park. And you're going to get a little bit of that going on as those G League teams that are affiliated with NBA teams get relocated closer so the NBA team has more of a hands-on role with them.
Which makes sense.
Which makes sense.
And they should kind of. I mean, they kind of do it with baseball, but you still have teams that are still like.
Kind of all over the
place. All over the
place. Yeah, like the Las Vegas. It used to be with the Dodgers. Now it used to be with the Mets.
Yeah.
I don't know who it's with now.
Yeah, I don't either.
It just went over all the place. But I just want to see with the G League moving to College Park, if a person gets sent down to the G League, he has to walk. From State Farm to whatever arena, you gotta walk. You know, if you come back, sure, get a limo. But if you're going down, you gotta hot foot it.
You gotta hot foot it.
I think that would be funny.
I tell it down 285 off Old National. That's probably where they're gonna be at. So.
But again, that's kind of my point. That's kind of my point here. All right, so. We've talked a little bit about this throughout the podcast about who's playing whom. Upset special.
My upset special will be Yale over LSU. I'm sold over that simply because of the fact that I just think that LSU is just having problems right now. And it's going to be an uphill battle for them. It's going to be a struggle for them mentally to get things done. Now, that will stop Yale. Yale will be out of this, the round of 32 because I think Belmont's going to the Sweet 16.
Okay. Leon, you got an upset for us?
I think that Michigan just might get put out by Montana.
Yep.
Whoa.
Yep. We were mentioning that last week.
Right?
I was actually thinking of going there because Coach Boeheim's got a lot of work he's got to do.
He does.
He's gonna basically. I would be surprised. Where's the Big Ten championship? It's in St.
Chicago.
Chicago. All right. He's gonna get back to Ann Arbor. He's gonna make them run.
Yeah, he is.
They're doing suicide sprints as soon as they get back.
Because they just look so uninterested that they got a 2. Listen, you weren't gonna get a 1. You didn't get the job done today.
And even if you got the job done, you were gonna get a 1.
You weren't gonna get a 1. The committee let people know that they already had the 1 seeds. They had the 1 seeds yesterday.
Right.
Once Duke won, they had to do the 1 seeds because if Florida State would have won the ACC tournament, then it probably would have threw a little monkey wrench into it. Then it would have said, okay, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I don't know. They probably would have knocked North Carolina out.
Right.
In all honesty.
Right. Okay. I think, yeah. I mean, that's where I was headed to. Montana, the Grizz, going to knock off Michigan. Because even though we'll probably go another 40 years before a 16 beats a 1, mm-hmm. you know, we're probably going to, you know, 15 knocking off a 2. It happens.
Yeah,
it happens.
It does.
I won't say regularly, but right. you know, every couple of years, it'll happen.
It'll happen.
But you are going to get a 13 beat. A 13 will beat a 4, and I think a 12 will beat a 5.
A 12 beat a 5 every year.
Yeah.
And you're just about finding the right 12 to beat that 5.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just a matter of figuring out which one it's going to be.
Right.
So let's see if I can find it, so I can see what are the 12 fives in this particular. Matchup. Oh man, I lost my bracket.
Here I see two of them, John. I already see 2 12-5 upsets.
All right,
already. So,
you got Liberty. Give me Liberty or give me Potatoes over Mississippi State. No, you know what? I'm going to go with Mississippi State on that
one. I got
one.
Mississippi State. I think Mississippi State's too
all right.
Long.
Where's the? All right, let me find the other ones here. Let's see. There's no. That's not 12-5. Oh, here's one. There's this New Mexico State and Auburn? Is that, was that 12-5?
Yes, that's my upset. That is, that's one of my upsets.
Okay, yeah. I can see that. I can see
that. New Mexico State 30-4. They just ran over the WAC conference, so which was a WAC conference.
Yeah, Murray State and Marquette. Murray State's going to win that
Murray game. Murray State's going to win that game probably by 10 or 15 points.
Exactly.
But, you know, and then that will set up a possible Florida State-Murray State matchup, which I don't like.
Exactly.
I don't like that
matchup. Especially if you get past Vermont.
Yeah, okay. Right.
Florida State and Old Dominion.
Now, like I said, 13-4. The 13-4s. You got UC Irvine and Kansas State.
I think Wisconsin and Kansas State will be fine there. UC Irvine, they've done a great job out there in the Big West, but I think Kansas State will be a little too much for them.
The bracket I'm looking at is like real tiny print, so you'll have to forgive me on this. Mm-hmm. Abilene. No, that's a 14-3.
That's a 14-3.
Abilene Christian and Kentucky.
Kentucky.
No. People are going to think that Abilene Christian is a Division II school.
Well, that's because they just came up 5 years ago, and they were just eligible to play in Division I basketball last year.
Damn, that's not bad.
Yeah, to go to a tournament game last year.
And they got in, and they won the
The Southland Conference.
Right. Southland Conference.
Yeah, so kudos to them. They're going to get a chance to experience what the tournament is like, but you know,
they're going to lose
that game by 45.
Ooh,
at least just go around, stick around for the Wofford-Seton Hall matchup. Hopefully that one will be in front of them.
Now, Kentucky better be careful because that would be their matchup, right?
Yes.
Kentucky better be careful with that Wofford Terriers team. Be careful with them. They are a dangerous basketball team. And they could mess around and go to the Sweet 16 if Kentucky is not on their A game.
Now, Wofford is, what are they, a 6 seed?
They're a 7.
So they're a 7 seed. Are you surprised that Wofford got a 7 seed?
No. They should have been. I would have had a case for them being a 6. Wofford has only lost, I believe, 2 games all year long, and they had a pretty decent non-conference schedule. So they were very good. The only way Wofford would have been knocked off of a lower seed than that is if they would have lost their conference tournament, which they weren't going to do.
Right.
So Wofford right there at 7, I think that's fine. I would have knocked them up to 6, but I'm fine with them being a 7. Just like Buffalo, I'm fine with Buffalo being a 6 seed.
Right.
Like, these are teams that had outstanding seasons, and they got seeded correctly. So, you know, it's pretty good.
So when we look at Georgia State, where they come in as a 12?
13.
Could –
Or 14.
14.
Did we expect better?
I did, yes. I expected a 13.
I did, too. I was reaching for 12 last week when we talked to Dave Cohen.
Yeah.
But I knew that when you look at the other 12s, they weren't better than New Mexico State. They weren't better than Murray State. They weren't better than those on that line.
Yeah,
so
Georgia State was seeded, out of all the 68 teams, Georgia State was seeded at 57.
Right. Right. So that's fine. That's good right there. You just got to go and play.
Exactly. You got the berth. It's a little easier than Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're right behind Old Dominion in terms of the seeding and above Northern Kentucky. So, you know, I think don't get me wrong, Houston is going to be tough in this one.
Very tough.
But I don't think they haven't played DeMarcus Simons. And remember what DeMarcus Simons did last season, where he was beating Cincinnati pretty much by himself.
I think he scored like
the first 15 points. 15
points, yeah. Yes. And so he scored like 17 out of the first 20. So, you know, listen, if you got that, and then you got Ben Levy, who's playing very well this year.
If you can get Devin Mitchell hot from outside.
Exactly.
Jeff Thomas and Jordan Tyson do well. Well, Jeff Thomas also hit from outside. Jordan Tyson doing well inside. And then you got Nelson Phillips and Kane Williams coming off the bench. You know, it's gonna be hard.
This is one of the more intriguing matchups in the entire bracket system right now.
Yeah,
so
I'm just looking back. I'm hopping in my little proverbial time machine. If you go back to 1992, and if I would have told you that Georgia State would be the only school representing Georgia in the NCAA tournament, I would have got laughed out the building.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, there's that billboard. There's that rotating billboard right on I-285, 7585 across the street from Georgia Tech. It says Georgia State owns this state. Best My team goodness. In the. I don't think there's any question about it.
It is absolutely no question. Georgia Tech is just stumbling. They're not good. Tom Crean in Georgia.
They're a couple years away.
As far as Georgia Tech goes, I don't know what's going to happen.
I think Pastor needs to go.
I think Pastor needs to go, too. Josh Pastor needs to go. I don't think he fits the culture here.
Given him a couple years, and exactly. He hasn't done anything.
He hasn't done anything.
They are mired in a rut. I heard a guy say he keeps mentioning Josh Okogie every chance he gets, even though he's in the NBA for the last year.
Yeah.
But, so, you know,
I think they need a change.
But will they pull the trigger this season? And I don't think so.
I don't think so neither. And I think it's because they're going to look at if you're going to pull a trigger like that, if you're a team like Georgia Tech that's in a high power conference, like
and a storied school like that, I mean, they put out a lot of draft picks.
Matt
Harpring.
Matt Harpring.
Mark Price.
Chris Bosh. Hall of Famers. Travis Best.
What's right?
Kenny Anderson.
You know, they put out guys like that. And kudos to Kenny Anderson. You know, I think
he had a big story about him.
Yeah, he had a stroke last week.
Yes, he did. A couple weeks ago.
So he's recovering. Hey, man, kudos to you, Kenny. Get better.
Yeah.
But you have that. And this is the actual platform that you want to look at. If you want to get some of these mid-major teams and some of these high-profile head coaches in the mid-majors, you might want to look that way. If you're Georgia Tech, that's if you're going away from Pastor.
If you're Georgia Tech, go to Macon, watch those games, and make offers.
Exactly.
And I don't know if they did.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't either, and I don't know what they're going to do. But I don't think that he's going to be a fit there. I don't think that they're going to get any better. Well, for one thing, let's look at it like this. He's losing the recruiting battle.
Oh, yes.
He's going to lose the recruiting battle because if Ron Hunter is still there at Georgia State, man, come on.
You got a one bid school.
If you want to come to Atlanta, if you want to play basketball in Atlanta, do you want to play at Georgia Tech or do you want to play at Georgia State knowing you're going to make the tournament?
Exactly.
Even though you're from a one bid conference.
But he's made it three of the last four years.
Yeah. He has won the Sun Belt three of the last 4 years.
I mean, Georgia State's going to – they will have to, for lack of a better term, they will have to cash him out in order to keep him because
there's
some power schools are looking at this.
Yes, they are.
They will. First of all, he loves Atlanta. Yeah. Don't get it. He loves it here. Because it's perfect for him. He loves it here. So the question is, how much will Georgia State have to fork over in order to keep him? I mean, the deal has got to be extremely sweet.
Well, yeah,
for him to go,
and the amount of years has to be
right,
secured.
You know, secure too. So,
and of course, I mean, if he wins against Houston, if he takes Georgia State to the round of 32 or the round of 16,
very possible. 16.
Yeah,
I mean, in that second game, Iowa State and Ohio State. Yeah, Georgia State against them. Woo, that's going to be interesting.
That could set up a possible Sweet 16 between Georgia State and Kentucky.
Oof.
You imagine that. Okay. Imagine that in Kansas City. That is going to be
huge.
But, you know, we'll see. You know, we have to play the games, man.
Exactly.
We have to play the games.
And Dave Cohen, if you're listening, I would be happy to go with you and do color commentary on those broadcasts. I'm just putting it out there because,
to Tulsa, man.
It would be fun going to Tulsa. Again, Georgia State women's basketball lost by 2 to Appalachian State. In the first round, well, their first game, I guess it was the quarterfinals of the Sun Belt Women's Tournament. Maddie Story hit a runner with time going out, time going down. They ruled that the ball left her fingertips just a split tenth of a second before the clock hit zero for that basket to count 47-45.
How did you call it, man?
I said she hit it, but just a matter of whether or not the clock, because I knew the refs were going to look at it. I knew the refs were going to look at it. So it's just a matter. It was going down to that video review. They had the replay up about, you know, 6 times, and it was close.
Right. So as a color commentator, are you able, you know, and for those of us who don't know, John is your voice for Georgia State and women's basketball, and this man, let me tell you, he does a great job at it. You know, but as a colored commentator, how much of your opinion are you allowed to weigh in?
How much? So I guess what you're asking is how much of a homer am I supposed
to be? Right.
It's basically the best is what he's trying to say. Well, you know, it's kind of like Stockholm syndrome in a way. You spend so much time with the team that you can't help but root for them.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And you're going to see things that maybe the officials don't see, and you're going to see, like, if a player, like if Allison Johnson, for instance, falls down, mm-hmm. someone had to get her to fall down.
Yeah.
And you're wondering why that wasn't called.
You know, and that's how it was for me when I was doing color for Georgia Perimeter, when I did color for Rockdale County.
And now on Morgan and Madison County.
And now Morgan County in Madison. That's what you do, right?
Yeah.
It's
and let's be honest, if the team does well, if the team advances, mm-hmm. you advance.
You advance.
Exactly. Right. You keep going. And, you know, the ultimate thing for a broadcaster is to, well, basically, three things. Go on the road.
Yep.
Get free food.
Yep.
And work a championship game.
Exactly. He is absolutely right. He is absolutely right.
But he could be hearing John on CBS sometime soon.
Let's not go that far. Although if anyone is listening from we'll say the ESPN ACC network, you know, I am accepting, you know. Actually, it's funny. I did get on the ESPN Plus broadcast of that game, second year in a row, that they did show me and talked about me on air. It was really cool. It was really neat. It's at the 140 mark of that ball game. Kind of deep in. And for the second year, they didn't catch me picking my nose. So that I'm very happy about that. Very happy about that. I'm kidding. It's a joke. So, you know, but yeah, like I said, it's kind of Stockholm syndrome. But you do try to, if you do see an instance where your team commits an obvious foul, you should say so.
Yeah.
You gotta call it the way you see it.
And it has to be reality.
Right.
You know, for the teams. I've seen Morgan County do some things that was just crazy, but I've called them out. And
right.
I said, well, hey, this is what they need to do. But maybe it could be a helping tool for the next time. Coach Barney, who said he used to listen to us all the time.
Yes.
And he would pick up like some of like what I
that
would
blew
say.
That blew your mind.
That blew my mind. That he would pick up like some of the things. He was like, man, I heard what you said, and I did that.
Of course, is referring to Alfred Barney, who coached Georgia Perimeter College Jaguars mm-hmm. before they were absorbed into the Georgia State system. Longtime coach of the Jags. Took him to the NJCAA basketball tournament a couple times down there in Hutchinson.
Quite sometimes.
Hutchinson, yeah. Kansas, I think.
Hutchinson, Kansas.
Yep. Where it is. Yeah, middle of nowhere in Kansas. But but that's what we're talking about. So don't, like I said, don't belittle the impact that we have on the team and the team on us.
Yeah.
Like, they let Dave Cohen cut the net over down in New Orleans when Georgia State won it.
That is good.
Oh.
That is good, man.
Yeah, Mike Holmes, the SID, another person I've been trying to get on, he cuts the nets.
Right.
So, it is a lot of fun, although to say that I could go, even though I could, you know, and watch every game, I could. I don't because, you know, I'm kind of with the team. I'd have to take an Uber back and forth. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I did. You know, I went a day after. The team went on Tuesday. I had to go on Wednesday because of my work. I actually shared a flight with the Georgia Southern men's team.
Oh, shoot.
I had Quan Jackson sitting in my aisle.
In your aisle. How did that feel?
Yeah. And I'm kind of dressed in my Georgia State women's warm-up. I'm in my warm-up jacket. That's another thing. I say free food, you get free clothes.
Get free clothes.
Oh, hold on. Did you pass you down for a tape recorder?
No, it was cool. I mean, they didn't say anything. I got to give them credit.
Yeah.
I mean, they understood it, but still, I was like, okay, this is not going to be fun.
Right.
Yeah, but in regards to turn and play, I didn't want to, you know, I know we kind of, what do you guys think about Villanova?
Well,
can it make a splash?
They can because they're the defending national champions.
Yeah, everyone's going to pay attention to them.
They're going to pay attention to them. And Jay Wright is one of the better college basketball coaches we have in this game today. But, man, St. Mary's is dangerous.
I think St. Mary's is going to beat them.
I think so, too. And they are.
They're finally in.
Yeah.
And
so they
didn't
play above their heads, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's nothing against Villanova. You know, Villanova, yes, they did struggle earlier.
Yeah, St. Mary's is the best team that has been in the tournament in 5 years because they couldn't get past Gonzaga.
Exactly.
And they finally did it this season.
Yep. Gonzaga was their kryptonite.
Yeah.
And even though they won 30 games or so, what was that, 2 years ago, John? They didn't get, last year, no. It was last year.
Right.
St. Mary's didn't get picked last year. 30 wins, and then, because we talked about this last week, 30 wins.
That's why
you can't get 30 wins,
That's why they had. That's why they had to revamp the whole system.
They did.
That's they had to push reset.
This whole net thing. I don't know what that is, but they had to introduce that system.
And the system's not perfect, though.
No, it's not.
But
no,
but they're looking at. But you know, well,
but like, it was better than RPI.
Oh yeah,
30 wins, and we're in the NIT anyway.
Right?
Really?
Yeah. I wouldn't want to play for no damn NIT if I've got 31-32 wins.
Man.
Well, let's put it this way. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind playing if I hadn't been in a tournament in 5 years.
Well, yes.
I wouldn't mind playing in the NIT knowing that it's a stepping stone to the NCAAs. No, because I don't think you should count out the experience you get in the NIT.
No, no, no. You're right. You're right. At one point in time, the NITs were more important than the NCAA.
Yeah, it was. Right, back in the days. The 40s, the 50s.
Oh, wow. The 70s.
Yes.
I think it fizzled out during the 80s. Like, that's when, you know, because I think.
Really, the 70s.
Yeah.
Really, once the NCAA.
I would say the Bird Magic years kind of really just killed the NIT.
Once the NCAA went up to 48, mm-hmm. that really killed it.
Yeah.
And then Bird Magic, and then this whole March Madness, and then bracketology became an actual word. But let me give you an example. South Alabama.
Sure.
The women's South Alabama.
Oh, by the way, their selection show is tomorrow night.
Right. Yeah. Last season, the women's South Alabama went to the WBI, which is below the NIT.
Yes.
And won it. They won four games, and they won it. This season, as a seventh seed, they had to play at home against Louisiana, beat Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Then on Wednesday, they went to New Orleans, which admittedly isn't far for them.
Mm-hmm.
2 hours.
Right.
Maybe an hour and a half if you're flooring it on I-10. They defeat Texas State, which was a sixth seed.
Yeah.
Okay. Then they play Troy, which is a four seed.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Troy. Then they play UTA in the semifinals, a two seed. They beat UTA. Now, of course, they just ran out of gas against Little Rock. But look at that. That's four games, 5 days, three in a row. And they won. And I don't think that would have happened unless they had that experience in the WBI last year.
No, you're absolutely right. And I'm glad you mentioned it. Now, my question to you is, because they were runners up in the Sun Belt, do they go to the NIT?
Well,
the WNIT.
The WNIT. That's a good question.
I know
they were seeded seventh, but they got it's going to be interesting how many seeds the Sun Belt gets, because the women's to the WNIT is a little more generous than the NCAA in terms of giving other teams berths.
Right. Because you got to look at. I think they should open up this new. You know, it's opinionated, of course. It's non-tangible. The strength of momentum.
Yes.
I see where you're going.
You can't quantify
exactly what you're saying.
You can't quantify it, but it has to be taken into consideration.
You remember the year UConn was? They was like what, six in the Big East? I think this was the Kemba Walker.
The Kemba Walker about 2010-ish.
Yeah,
they were not expected to go to the NCAA tournament, right? They just kept moving up. They just kept winning and winning and winning. And then they eventually won the national title.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. It's the same way. When you look at these, if Duke is hot, then Duke's going to win it all.
Yep.
But if Kansas State, who's in the South bracket, if they catch fire and they beat teams like Wisconsin and Mississippi and Ole Miss and Virginia – and they somehow get past Tennessee in the regional final, and they go to the Final Four, and they beat somebody, and they win the national title.
Man, as a 12 seed?
Kansas State's a four.
There's
a four. But they're not expected to get out of this region.
That right there, that would do so much for March Madness, though.
It would. That's why we love it, man.
Exactly.
That's why we love it.
Because you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's precisely, if the number one seeded team won every year, it'd get boring.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the number one seed does not win every year. Win any year.
And that's why the committee did such a great job this year. They had to understand that it's not about the big boys. It's not about – it's not college football, okay?
Right.
This is the Cinderella stories, like the Vermonts and the Northern Kentuckys and the Montanas.
And the Butlers.
And the Butlers. Oh, right. Come on, the Butlers.
Yes.
Listen, I have an essay that I wrote. Okay, I'm gonna talk about it in the last minute, this podcast, but you know it's an okay essay, but it just lets people know this is what March Madness is all about. You know, I'm gonna bring back some memories, but this is what we do. This is what we love, man. This is the one thing we love about March Madness. It's not about these big teams.
They might mess around and get Brad Stevens a movie.
Yeah.
Because, you look at him, he went from Butler, being a team that we just discussed right now, a Cinderella team, to going to the NBA and being, he's being looked upon as being a genius.
Right.
He has a lot to deal with right now in Boston, but I mean,
yeah,
just to think that this man lost his star point guard, right, and they almost went, they were like, what, a bad shot away from going to the finals?
Yeah. Yep. And they was in the finals.
They were in the finals.
They were in the championship game against Duke. Mm. And a man by the name of Gordon Hayward.
Yes, sir.
Missed that game-winning three-pointer from, and it was this close to, he was this close to hitting that half-court three-point shot. But just missed it. What are some of y'all favorite, like, NCAA tournament moments? Like,
I think last week I explained what mine was. Mm-hmm. Being in the coach's press conference for, I guess it was 1992, down in Tucson, then hearing Jerry Tarkanian, hearing John Thompson, hearing Judd Heathcote, all those classic coaches come up and talk during their press conferences. That was cool.
Yeah.
That was fun. Yeah. I mean, that's something I'm never going to forget. And I remember there was this one moment where we were up on Georgetown, and a guy, one of a friend of mine, he was sitting next to me in press rows. Actually, his name was John Morgan, ironically enough. He whispered over to me, he says, "We're going to beat Georgetown." And I said, "Don't jinx it."
Yeah.
And it's funny because in the Vanderbilt newspaper, right after that issue, right after that game, it's called The Hustler, by the way. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. We had it first.
Yes.
There's a picture of a guy dribbling a basketball, right? And I said, "Oh, there I am." Mom looks at me, "Where are you?" "Right there. My head, the basketball's covering up my head. I'd recognize that receding hairline anywhere." So, you know, it's so, like I said. So, yeah, that's mine, and that probably will always be it, unless, as I said, Dave Cohen relents and takes me to Tulsa. But, you know, that's...
Exactly. Mine's, I thought last year, because, and you know what's funny? When we were doing dry runs for this show, last year we got on and we talked about the tournament, and remember we talked about how we never thought we would see a 16 beat a 1. We don't know when.
And it happened.
Hopefully it happened, and then like a month later it happened. And UMBC, who actually didn't make the tournament, they lost to Vermont in their conference tournament championship. And I know Virginia fans are like,
"Oof, don't play them this year.
Don't play them this year." But Virginia's the number one seed again, folks. And they will play Gardner Webb. And you know Gardner Webb is looking at this.
They're watching film. Like, they're watching film from last year.
From last year. They are watching that. I thought that was probably one of the best moments for me to watch as a fan. A 16 finally beat a 1 and to hear. And never mind. I'm not going to say that because that's in my piece.
Okay. So all right. Well.
Oh, no, I got one, guys.
Uh-huh. Okay.
This one hit close to home.
Yeah.
1993, we got Travis Best,
Kenny Anderson,
and my first cousin James Forrest.
Yeah,
hit the one of the most iconic buzzer beaters in NCAA history.
Yep,
Atlanta went straight from Southside, and then like that's my first cousin. I was thinking about having him on the show. I talked to him about it. He'll gladly come on.
Great,
but you know, when he hit that shot, you know, that was huge. I was like, I think I was like 11 years old and everything like that. And I was sitting there screaming at the tube. That's my cousin. You know, but that was my memory. And I think that was a year after the infamous false timeout.
Chris Webber.
Yep.
All right, before we leave this topic behind, Final Four predictions.
Let's see. I'm going to go on a reach here. And I know you guys are probably going to be like, "Whoa, this is going to be crazy." But I think for the first time in NCAA history, we may see four teams from the same conference in the Final Four. I have Duke clearly winning the East. I have Florida State winning the West. I think Florida State will win the West. I have North Carolina winning the Midwest. And I have Virginia winning the South. And I think there will be an all-ACC Final Four. It's going to be nuts, but I think it's going to be an all-ACC Final Four.
And
I think Duke cuts the Nets down. I think they're the best team.
And it's not like there's no school bias in that. No. Absolutely not.
No, I don't think so. I think they're going to have a problem. I think Florida State's going to have a problem with Murray State.
But if they get to the Sweet 16, they should roll.
They should roll. Yeah, okay. And Gonzaga, of course, is going to be a tough out. But I think Gonzaga probably could get beaten earlier than that. So, you know, we'll see what happens, though. But I think we might see an all-ACC Final Four. All right.
I'm going to keep mine real vanilla. Mm-hmm. My fourth one, I'm kind of like up in the air about that. But I could run with my fourth would be Kentucky. My number one would be Duke. That's how I'm keeping the vanilla.
Yeah.
My number three would be Villanova due to their, you know, them defending. And my number three or four would be Oregon.
Wow.
Going to the Pac-12, y'all. I think that they've caught, we got to look at strength and momentum. Look at the four games in a row. We're looking at this big win they had against Washington. Stomped them out by 20. I like that.
Okay. All right, I'm going to put a little asterisk. I'm going to say Duke, mm-hmm. but if Zion Williamson re-aggravates that feet, that foot,
be a factor.
I'll go with Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Kentucky.
Okay.
I'm going to Virginia. I'm not too sold on Virginia.
Okay.
But I can't bring myself to say Tennessee. And so who's the... So, like I said, I can't
so
bring...
Got, so, you got the East, you got the South winner, you got the Midwest, you need a West winner.
Well, like I said, Virginia, I'm not sold on. Tennessee, I can't bring myself to say Tennessee. So, we'll go with Purdue, the 3-seed.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And let's see. I'll go with Gonzaga, and I'll go with Kentucky.
Okay. That's a good Final Four, though.
Yeah.
Duke will play Gonzaga. Kentucky will play Purdue. That's
all right.
A good one.
So, guys, we still got about 5 minutes. I want to... just briefly touch upon this topic. 2019, February 2019, will the Cleveland Browns be playing for a Super Bowl?
No. Man. they won't. They won't play for a Super Bowl, but they'll definitely play. They'll definitely be in the playoffs. I think that they may win the AFC North. Now, they're not the laughing stock anymore.
No, that's Pittsburgh.
Clearly, that's Pittsburgh now.
Yes, that's Pittsburgh.
It's Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. They'll be tied for that.
Right.
But the Ravens made some moves, too. The Ravens got Mark Ingram from the Saints, so their running game is bolstered up. So, the Ravens are going to be there, but Cleveland might have a shot, folks. Cleveland might do it. But, Leon, you mentioned something earlier about Cleveland. I'm going to let you take over with that one.
Yeah, granted, they have a real star-studded offense. And we like that. I mean, offense sells tickets and everything like that. But didn't Atlanta Falcons have a great offense this year?
They did.
Matt Ryan had a pretty much typical year.
Mm-hmm.
Julio Jones got his numbers. He will get his money.
Yeah.
It's just the defense couldn't stop.
Defense couldn't stop nobody.
And that will get you 8-8. That will get you probably worse.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And as a Charger fan, I know all about that. But when we look at Cleveland, granted, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. does not play defense. Josh Landry does not play defense. Kareem Hunt does not play defense. Nick Chubb does not play defense. And Baker Mayfield really does play defense.
So Cleveland needs to go in the draft and bulk up is what
they
you're
got to. They. I mean, this is the draft. It's going to be real easy for management. All defensive players you draft. There's no reason you're leaking. You're not leaking an offense,
right?
You
could probably use a lineman though. You could probably use an offensive lineman.
Right. Oh, yeah, definitely. But as far as you know, they're real top heavy as far as offense is concerned.
Okay.
The offense will run block room. I mean, it's going to be head cases for real. Will. You put Odell Beckham in Cleveland. He wanted to go to L.A., but then again, he's teamed up with Josh Landry again.
Yeah, his buddy, his best friend.
Yeah, yeah. So,
which makes them probably the best receiving tandem in football now.
And it's going. I mean, who would have? Did you wake up in the morning when I heard that? I thought I was dreaming. I was like, Odell Beckham to the Browns.
Well, here's my question to you guys:
uh-huh.
Will Buffalo Bills fans look back on the Antonio Brown era as fondly as the Hawks fans look upon the Carmelo Anthony era?
That's a great question. Damn, that's a great question, John. That is because
he landed in Buffalo.
No, he almost did. There were reports that he did land in Buffalo.
No, he landed with the Raiders.
Right, I'm going to say,
Oakland. Yeah,
Oakland. That's where that joke
that's
comes
where
from.
That came from. Yeah.
I tweeted that out, and Steve Holman put a like on it. I'm very pleased with that.
You know what? It's just been a freak show. It really has. It's free agency with Antonio Brown now going to Oakland. John Gruden obviously saw something in him, you know, and why not? He's probably arguably the best receiver in football. And now you got a guy you can throw to with Derek Carr. I think one of the major questions I had, kind of the head scratches, I guess, was Le'Veon Bell.
Going to the Jets.
Going to the Jets. And I think he kind of settled because he saw where his market was. Just like I think Tevin Coleman. A lot of people would say Tevin Coleman thought his market was going to be big. But I don't think Tevin Coleman went to the 40. He left the Falcons and went to San Francisco. Mm. I don't think he left. I don't think he picked. He decided to go there and he was looking for money. Right. I think he wanted to go back to Kyle Shanahan. Because Kyle Shanahan actually got him the ball a little bit more.
Right.
Well, so that's what my personal opinion.
Yeah. When we look at Le'Veon, though, Le'Veon was a 27-year-old back.
Yeah.
And in the NFL years, you know, 27 is like 57.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, he's had a lot of carries.
Yeah.
You know, true enough, he's fresh.
But the Jets, though?
Oh, I know. It's going to make Sam.
Jets?
It's going to help Sam Darnold. Definitely.
Well, yeah. Without question.
But you're going to the same division that the Patriots are in?
Yeah.
During the twilight years of your career?
That's what I'm saying. You do that. To me, that didn't technically make sense.
He was going for the bag. You know, this is his last ditch effort to get his best contract. I mean, how much they give him? $32.5 million or something?
$52.5 million. He's making 13 and some change.
And how much guaranteed?
I think 30 million.
Hey, he's 27. Last ditch contract. I mean, hey, he went for the money.
Yeah, he did.
You got to do it. And you know, I could see someone like I could see him using someone like Reggie Bush as an example. You know, who was 27 years old, injury ridden, never really secured that big contract he always wanted. So you know. I think a lot of the younger younger running backs are seeing that. So, you know, he got his money. Will they win? No, I don't think so. But, you know. He gets a better shot, though.
Well, yeah, but with the running game, because I think their running game has not really been that great, you know, so.
Yeah, so, I would have never guessed it. If we were doing a show during the beginning part of football season last year, and we didn't. I mean, we looked at Cleveland as being a team that could possibly do a little something. I mean, they only beat one team that was above 500.
And they did a great job. They did a great job. I think they were 8-8 this year or
7-9.
7-8-1. At that time, they had the tie.
Yeah, ridiculous tie. You know, their field goal kicker just betrayed them.
Yeah. All right, we're wrapping it up here. I want to get that NFL. Free agency news in. We're going to leave a little time for Daniel. I think we're actually, when our last three minutes, I think we're going to have Daniel go last this time.
Yeah.
We're going to have Daniel go last. I know what I want to talk about. Let's go with Leon first.
Okay, I'm looking at, I'm going to switch channels altogether, and I'm going straight to the NBA.
Yeah, you're going to have to, man.
Yeah. Who do we have for Coach of the Year this year? Because, I mean, when I look at Coach of the Year candidates, mm-hmm. you know, to enable to persevere through adversity.
Sure.
I mean, you lose your star player, and yet and still you roll anyway. Mm-hmm. We've seen this with Greg Popovich this year.
Yeah.
And the loss of Kyrie and Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard. Right.
They're still relevant.
Yeah.
They're going to the playoffs. I believe they're going to be
like a 5 or a 6 seed. Right?
Yeah. So they really lose a step to a certain degree. We look at Nate McMillan in the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah. A 3 seed.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Without their star player.
Yeah, without Oladipo. Yeah.
And even though he got ejected last night, Mr. Doc Rivers.
With the Clippers.
Lost 4 stars and his son.
And they're up 6 games, I think, in that 8th place race. Behind, I think Sacramento is like 6 games behind them.
Who do we run with?
Whew. Man. That's a good question.
Man, that is serious because his job. Everybody thought this was going to be Doc Rivers last year,
right?
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, he's on the way out. No Blake Griffin, no DeAndre Jordan, and then no Chris Paul, and then they lost Tobias Harris. They got to open the bag up for him. So,
you know who I'd go with? Terry Stotts
from Portland.
From Portland.
Oh, especially now. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with CJ McCullough. He went down hard last night.
So. Oh.
Yeah, he's got a knee injury. Well, they said X-rays were negative, but he's supposed to get an MRI done today. But man, John, every year you have to put Terry Stotts in there, and I think that they're in 4th place in the West.
They always remain. They're always top 5.
Yeah,
right. But you know what? Who I would also consider Mike Budenholzer.
Mm. Yeah.
With Milwaukee. Listen, everybody was saying, even us at the beginning of the year, listen, this is a Boston-Philadelphia kind of thing. Nobody saw what Milwaukee would do. And with that kind of talent that they have, man, they had two All-Stars this year. We knew Greek Freak was going to be there, but Chris Middleton has obviously been a whole lot better.
Absolutely.
All right, let's talk about the McEachern Indians. Yeah. Basketball. Uh-oh. They went 32-0 this season. They swept the table. Mm-hmm. And because of that, they got an invite to the prestigious Geico Nationals, April 4th through 6th, in New York City, Madison Square Garden, the pinnacle of basketball. Well, a funny thing happened on the way to the Forum, guys. Well, the starting five, let me tell you a little bit about the starting five. You got Junior Sharif Cooper. He said he was the Gatorade Player of the Year for Georgia. He said, you know what? I got a commitment to USA Basketball. I'm not going. Mm. Then you got Isaac Okoro. He's going to Auburn. He said, well, I got to commit to the Nike Hoop Summit. I'm not going. Jeez. And then you have Quentin McElroy and Alan Breed. They're juniors. They said, you know what? We're focusing on our recruiting. We're not going. And number five, Jared Jones, says, well, I'm not going. If those four aren't going, why should I go? He's not going. So the entire starting five of McEachern decides not to attend this tournament. And that means that athletic director and head coach Jimmy Dorsey said, you know what? We're not going. Thanks, but no thanks. If we are going to be a shell of ourselves, we are not going to represent McEachern in this mythical national championship tournament. So we had this conversation on a couple of different levels. We've had it on college bowl games. We've had it in terms of NCAA tournaments.
Yeah.
Now we're having it here where people are looking at what they want down the future and using that to decide here and now. So McEachern, they did a great job. They went 32-0. They got the national title, but a chance to go for the mythical USA title is going to have to go by the boards because of what we have here, where the kids are putting, and you know, it's their right, it's their decision, but it's just a shame that they won't be able to get to New York City to go and play.
Wow. That's crazy.
I hear this story, man. Wow. And I knew they were invited to a national tournament because they kept saying it on the broadcast.
Right.
That they were going to be invited and possibly win a national championship. Well, they're not going to win a national championship. and they clearly don't care about winning. They won the state title, and that's all they care about.
Right.
32-0, I have commitments.
Right, exactly. All right, Daniel. It's all yours.
March Madness. For those young kids who may be too young to know, and for those that don't even watch sports at all, and for those who don't watch a lick of college basketball until the start of the NCAA tournament, I wrote this essay for you. This is March Madness.
So it's the night before madness.
March Madness is the anticipation that everyone has on Selection Sunday. Is my team getting in? Did the committee get it right? They did this year. Is the excitement of your bubble team being called to dance, and or the disappointment of your bubble being busted? It's the emotion and intensity of it all, whether if it's the absolute thrill of victory or the devastating feeling of defeat. March Madness has given us the legends you know and legendary moments you may have heard us talk about. It's the beginning of one of the greatest rivalries in sports, Bird versus Magic. March Madness is Five Slammer Jammer. Look them up. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look them up. It's the legend of Michael Jordan. He was born at UNC, right? John Thompson in the white towel. I think he still carries that over his shoulder, Leon. We were also introduced to Lynn Bias and Hank Gabbers. Sadly, we didn't see enough of them as both of their lives ended way too soon. March Madness also reminded us that it was cool to start five freshmen at the University of Michigan. They would forever change the culture of basketball, the way we look at basketball. But they, along with everyone else, hated Mr. March Madness himself, Christian Laettner. But what is the real reason why March Madness is what it is? Because of the underdogs or the Cinderellas. Jim Valvano's 1985 national title victory at NC State, survive and advance. Villanova's 1985 national title upset over mighty Georgetown. South Carolina's improbable 2017 run. Bradley in 2016. Florida Gulf Coast in 2013. Cleveland State 1986. Providence 1987. Wichita State 2013. Davidson and a very young Stephen Curry 2008. George Mason 2006. Kansas and their title run in 1988. VCU and Butler in 2011. Gonzaga 1999. Well, Gonzaga basically goes every year now. Right. Bryce Drew sliding Valparaiso to the Sweet 16 in 1998. Look it up.
And sliding to an 0-19 record in the SEC is Coach Vanderbilt. Exactly. But go ahead.
And oh, recently, just last year, we saw an inspired Loyola Chicago team that inspired us all. And did I forget to mention that a 16 finally beat a 1? Thank you, UMBC. And in the words of Jim Nance, what's wrong with Virginia? There are plenty more moments made and will be made, but I only have a few seconds left. So when you're filling out your bracket to try to win thousands and millions of dollars from the online contest, or to win that office pool that you look to win or avoid losing so that you won't have to buy the entire office lunch, remember, these are just some of the reasons why March Madness is a national commodity, and the reason why you should indulge in all of this madness. Stay tuned. I guarantee there will be more memories made and one more shining moment.
Well said. Well said. Thank you, Daniel Bolden, for that scintillating essay as to why we like March Madness here. And it's, we do enjoy it on The Last Three Guys to Do a Podcast, because next week, well, we'll be having the Sweet 16 to talk about. Can't wait to do that. So that's going to wrap us up for the 25th edition of The Last Three Guys to Do a Podcast. Appreciate your listening to us and your continued support. Please get those likes going. Please get those downloads going. Please spread the word about us. Tell a friend, tell an enemy, tell your barber, tell your bartender, tell your hairdresser. Happy St. Patrick's Day from all of us, by the way. I am John Mortal, along with
Leon Brown.
And
Madness Begins, baby. Daniel Bolton.
Begins on Tuesday. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be with you next week to talk about all the things that happen in the first weekend of the tournament, the best 4 days in sports. And we'll sure be talking about all the upsets, all the buzzer beaters, all the routes, all the great performances. You can get it all here on The Last Three Guys to Do a Podcast. We'll be with you in 7 days for that. So for all of us, have a good night, everybody.